This is a Discovery Church podcast. Every heart found in Jesus' story. Wherever you are in your journey of faith, we pray that this message brings you deep encouragement. If you would like to get involved in the life of our church, head over to discoverychurch.com.au or check out our social media or YouTube channel.
Thank you for that warm welcome. You're clapping and I haven't even said anything. Good morning, Discovery Church. It's wonderful to be with you. And the feeling is very mutual. Matt and Jody are wonderful people who I've tracked with for a number of years and prayed for them in different seasons of ministry and life. And it's wonderful to see them leading here and the vibrancy of this community. So I'm really touched by the invitation to come and share with you this morning. I'm going to do my introduction. I'm going to introduce myself a little bit differently. Okay, so when you and I go to parties or barbecues or meet someone at the cafe, the first question we usually ask is, so what do you do? And we kind of get our reference point about who we are by what we do, whether we're a student or our employment status, something like that, don't we? But today is the first day of NAIDOC Week, and Global Mission Partners not only is the overseas mission and aid arm of the Churches of Christ, we also have some wonderful Indigenous work that we do here in Australia, training and raising up Indigenous leaders, Christian leaders. We sponsor them through their theological training. And they have taught me how they do introductions. And they do two things before they mention their name. They talk about their place, their people, and then they tell their name. So I want to tell you about my place. I come from Darkindjong country. That's the traditional name of the land just north of Sydney on the central coast of New South Wales. Okay. And for though any Melbourne Victory supporters here, you will know of the Central Coast Mariners that broke your hearts this year. Well, I am an avid fan of them. So Central Coast is where I live. That's my place. We moved there just during COVID. We're part of the great exodus of Sydney. You saw an exodus from Melbourne during COVID. Well, my people is my wife, Tara. We've been married 14 years. And we have two daughters, Bella and Heidi. Bella's 10, Heidi's 8, the joy of my life. And we worship at Coast Community Church, Church of Christ up there. It's a great, wonderful church, exciting church. And I also like to say my people is anyone else who loves working for the global mission of God. Okay? They are my people. And my name is John. And as Matt said, I have the wonderful privilege of serving as the leader of Global Mission Partners here in Australia. And if I can have the map, if that's all right. There's a slide about to go up. There you go. That's where all our partners are around the world. You can see a few different icons there. You can see some orange, green, and red ones. The red ones are two emergencies that our partners are responding to currently. We're supporting a hospital right in the middle of Gaza. We're supporting refugees fleeing the crisis, the conflict in Sudan. So we're supporting refugees flowing over into South Sudan. So there are two emergency responses at the moment. The green ones are our overseas aid and development partners. That's where we're doing community development work. We're providing clean water, education, livelihood training in all those places. And then the orange ones are where we're doing Christian ministry. We're helping local partners plant churches, train leaders, and reach their communities. Okay. So that gives you a nice gamut of an overview of what we're doing. But we sit within that wonderful story of Jesus that Matt was referring to. And I like how J. John, the evangelist from the UK, tells one particular story. He got on a plane at Heathrow. He was heading to Sydney for a conference. And he sat down next to a woman. And she said, and he said to her, "Hi, where are you going?" She said, "Singapore." She said, "Where are you going?" He said, "Sydney." He said to her, "What do you do?" She told him. And she said, "Well, what do you do?" And he's an ordained minister. Okay, he's a pastor. And he said, "Well, I work for a global enterprise. We have outlets in every country of the world. We run hospitals and hospices, and we have feeding programs, we have childcare centres, we look after orphans, we're into social justice, and we look after people from birth to death, and we're in the business of behavioural alteration." And she said, "Wow, what is it you do?" And he said, "I'm part of the church. Have you heard of it? We are part of a wonderful story. But what I want to do is track back to where our story began. Okay, we have a wonderful story, and Global Mission Partners gets to serve as part of that story. You serve as part of that story here. But I want to track back in Scripture to the book of Acts, chapter 1. I think it'll be on the screens for you, but I'm going to read here from the NIV. And if you'd like to follow along, we're reading from verse 3. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men. This is Jesus showing himself to his disciples, and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when they met together, they asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." At this point in time, Jesus had lived, he'd taught, he'd done many miracles, he'd entered Jerusalem, was crucified, had risen again, and was now reappearing in his resurrected form to his followers. We read that he presented himself and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. This is the central message, the core of our gospel message. Jesus is alive. He's conquered death. And that means Jesus is Lord. It's very easy for us to read this passage and think, just pick up on some key things. I'm alive. Jesus is alive. Receive the Holy Spirit. Be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. And we could easily devise a bit of a missions plan, couldn't we, around those geographies? Yeah? And in fact, I think if any church did do that, that would be a pretty good map, wouldn't it? And I just want to commend Discovery Church for your generosity. And if there's people here, I know there is, who have supported Global Mission Partners, thank you. But thank you to all of you for your generosity towards this vision appeal, because those partners are doing amazing work. What you're doing is part of this, what Jesus is saying here. But I want to go a little bit deeper than the geographical mission map that we often think of in this passage. I think Jesus was speaking into some fears and trying to address them and giving us something that would overcome those fears. So the first thing I want us to reflect on is how the disciples would have felt when Jesus said to be my witnesses in Jerusalem. The disciples had just experienced the brutal punishment and death of their Lord. They had experienced the beatings, the injustice, they'd experienced the crucifixion. And in John chapter 20, verse 19, it says they were locked inside. They'd locked themselves in the room. They were hiding. They were that scared. They didn't want to go out. So here they are hiding in Jerusalem, and Jesus says, I want you to be my witnesses back out in the streets. I'm not sure how I would go with that request. I would fear for my life, considering what brutality I'd just seen. Yet the thing that the disciples say in this verse, isn't it interesting? They lean in, they kind of huddle around Jesus and they say, is it this time you're going to restore the kingdom of Israel? But Jesus doesn't answer their question, does he? It's almost like he ignores it. They're asking what could be a political question. For them, that's safety. If you, Jesus, would restore the kingdom of Israel, you put all the Pharisees back in power, they get what they want, they're happy, and we can unlock the door and leave. And we'd probably get away with our lives. That's why they're asking that question, for their own safety. But Jesus doesn't answer with that question. He says, yes, you're going to get power, but it's not political power. I want to give you a different power. How would we go? How do we go sharing Jesus in hostile environments? Sometimes we are faced with that situation, aren't we? Let me tell you about Mr. M. I'm going to call him Mr. M because Mr. M, he lives in Bangladesh, and other than protecting his own identity, I can't say his surname, it's so complicated. So Mr. M lives in Bangladesh, where there is only 0.6% of the population is Christian. It's a majority Muslim nation. And in some countries, Muslims and Christians can get along. But in Bangladesh, they're not. The Christians are a minority, and they're often persecuted. And in the Chittagong Hill Tracks, 8 Christians were murdered just last year, in April 2023. We have partners in that area, and it really was a concern for them. But Mr. M, who we support, he goes village to village, and he does a couple of things. So imagine what your missional tactic might be in a hostile environment. Well, this is what Mr. M does. He goes village to village, sometimes 15 kilometres, walking through the jungle to a village, and he digs toilets. It's the first thing he does. He digs latrines. I've seen photos of him up to his shoulders in mud, in a pit, and he's digging a latrine pit. And then they build a shelter to provide a kind of a little hut over it to provide dignity, and he addresses their hygiene and sanitation. And then the village go, wow, this guy cares about us and wants the best for us. And then at the end of the day, covered in mud, he sits with them and he opens his Bible and he teaches them Christian songs and hymns so they remember and they build repetition in their mind about who Jesus is. And since January this year, he's baptized 18 people. That's how Mr. M witnesses in a hostile environment. It's exactly what we need to think. What is it when the disciples need to go out into the streets, unlock that door? What is it they're thinking? What's their tactic going to be? How am I going to share, be a witness to Jesus' resurrection in that difficult place? And we're faced with that question today. The second thing I think Jesus is trying to do is he asks his followers to be witnesses in Judea and Samaria. Now, Judea and Samaria, you'd think that's easier going, because the disciples have followed Jesus around Judea and Samaria. If you know your Bible, you know the geography of the land, you know that ancient Israel was split in two kingdoms, a northern and a southern kingdom. Judea, had its capital as Jerusalem, and up the north was Samaria, and the capital was Sychar. And then even further up, there's the Lake of Galilee, and up there is where many of the disciples came from. Yeah, Jesus went around the lake pretty much, picking up fishermen and other people, and then they travel down through Judea and Samaria. The Bible tells us that Jesus stirred up trouble in Judea. The Pharisees didn't like him too much in Judea. And the Bible also, if you know John 4, Jesus travels through Samaria very briefly. It almost reads like he didn't want to spend too much time there. But he spends some time in a little village, Sychar, and that is where he meets the woman by the well and reveals some things in her life, and she goes and tells her whole village. So the disciples have traveled with Jesus through these places, and Jesus is saying in Acts chapter 1, I want you to be my witnesses back into that place. Now the people, they might have heard, they've certainly heard his teaching. They've heard of the miracles. They've experienced the miracles. They might have caught whispers that Jesus had been crucified on the cross, but they wouldn't have known he was alive. And so the challenge now was to go and complete the story. The disciples had to go back to the places they'd already been to give the end of the story, that is, that Jesus is alive. Now, for many of us, we've probably got friends. Maybe some of us, even here, aren't convinced Jesus came back to life. The National Church Life Survey says that 44% of Australians believe that Jesus rose again. That 31% don't believe it, and 26% aren't sure. So only less than half of us Aussies believe that Jesus rose from the dead. The story's not complete in our own nation. So we've got our work to do. And I had a quick check, and Mount Evelyn and the Yarra Valley region is only 40% Christian, according to the recent census. So we've got our work to do here, don't we? In our own regions, we need to finish the story. We need people to know that Jesus is alive, that Jesus is Lord. I was recently in Africa. I got to travel to Kenya. We brought our partners from South Sudan that I mentioned have been looking after the refugees there down into Kenya to meet us there, because it was too unsafe for us to go there. I like kind of going to dangerous places, but my board wouldn't approve it. So we decided to meet in Kenya instead and bring our partners to us, and we had a wonderful time there. And then I travelled on to Zimbabwe for a week, and it was wonderful to see our partners there. And I went to a little village in the very southern part of Zimbabwe, a little village called Murerezi. And Zimbabwe, you might know or may not know, is 86% Christian. Okay, high Christian population. But they do have challenges of what's called syncretism, where some traditional religions blur with Christian traditions. Okay, so there's this kind of funny blend. And Murerezi is one of those places where we see both. Okay, we see that syncretism. And Zimbabwe, even though it's got a high Christian population, is suffering at the moment due to inflation. Now, we know the financial pressures we've experienced here in Australia, but they've had inflation of 175%. Their economy is really dire. There's only, we talk about a 4% unemployment rate. They've got a 90% unemployment rate. Okay? So people are very desperate there. And so they grow their own gardens to survive. But they're also experiencing a drought and there's a water shortage. And so the desperation that we saw in these parts was pretty dire. We support a couple of projects. We do clean water projects there. One of our partner Showers of Blessing has dug 280 wells, boreholes there to provide clean water. And we were looking at this village, Murarezi, and we were there for a couple of reasons. We were there for church, and we were there to look to see if that could be a place where we could dig a borehole. And the poverty in this place is, so it's only a few hundred people in this village, but most of the men have turned to alcohol due to their hopelessness, like their state of despair. But the story doesn't end there, because last October, one of the evangelists we support, Suchesi, he started Sunday gatherings. And since October, he's baptized 74 people in that village. They're hungry for God. They're hungry for hope. And when I was there, two more people came to faith at the end of the service. Two more people accepted Jesus as the Lord. And when I spoke to the chief after the service, he said, in tears, wiping tears out of the corner of his eyes, he said to me, "They're like the two town drunks, those two men that came to faith." And you should have seen the transformation. The Holy Spirit came upon them. One of them, he was glowing, like radiating the Holy Spirit. Like this transformation was so obvious. And he said, "That witness to all the others in this village is going to be profound." So even in Christian majority countries and places somewhat familiar to us, we need to continue sharing the end of the story, that Jesus is alive. And the third thing is that Jesus was asking the disciples to be witnesses to the ends of the earth. Now, we often hear that and we go, "Great, I'm going to dust off my passport. I'm going to check out flight prices to somewhere exciting." But for the disciples, this would have been daunting. These Galilean fishermen, tax collectors, zealots would have been thinking, "I don't know that language. I don't know that culture. I don't know those customs. How am I to learn?" And you know, mission agencies today, they say, "Go and spend 12 months learning the language." I heard a great sermon by Matt on Pentecost Sunday about what happened. So I'll let you go back if you don't know. Go and listen to that. It's a great sermon about what happened on Pentecost. But these disciples somehow went and did amazing things without very little preparation or training. Peter, at first, stayed in Jerusalem, but then he went to Antioch in Turkey, and then he went to Rome in Italy. John went to Greece. Andrew also went to Greece. Matthias went to Turkey, Cappadocia. Philip went to the Greek-speaking places around the region. Judas, Theudas, and Simon the Zealot went to Lebanon. Then Matthew went all the way to Ethiopia, into Africa. And Thomas went all the way to India. What changed? Here's these disciples locked, hiding, scared to share the story of Jesus. And something profound changed them and drove them out to hostile, challenging, unfamiliar places to bear witness to Jesus. Jesus gives one simple clue. Wait for the gift that my Father has promised. Wait for the gift that I've told you about. In John 14, verse 15 to 17, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate, the Spirit of truth." In the message, it says, friend. Isn't that comforting to know that Jesus has said, I'm going to give you a friend, an advocate to go with you? That was the difference. That was the thing that unlocked the door, that got them out to go and share the good news of Jesus. The Holy Spirit encourages us. The Holy Spirit gives us joy and understanding. The Holy Spirit gives us new languages and gives us words when we don't know what to say. The Holy Spirit gives us power, but a different power to how we understand power. And so now that we've reflected on these things and what the disciples would have been feeling in that moment when Jesus said, be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth, I want us to go back a little bit further and reflect on one more passage of scripture that Jesus said when he started his ministry. In Luke 4, we read that Jesus entered the synagogue of Nazareth and he unrivaled the scroll and he read from this. This is his inauguration speech. Yeah, he read from Isaiah 61, which says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to preach or proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. That's our Lord. That's our Jesus. That's what the Spirit does. So, I think we need to, if you're scared like me of sharing Jesus in hostile, challenging, or unfamiliar places, we need that friend. Yeah? And the other thing that Jesus said about the Holy Spirit is to ask and you'll receive. So if you would like, I'd like us to pray together. And when we receive gifts, we receive it with open hands, don't we? So can I encourage you? This is something I try to do most days. Sometimes I do it in the shower. Sometimes I just do it quietly when I find a quiet moment before the start of the day. But I just open my hands and I say, Lord, fill me for what you have today. Would you open your hands today? Now, some of you might be going to lead on camps. Some of you might be called to go to other places, maybe more hostile places, maybe challenging places. Maybe you've got friends that have come to mind that don't know the fullness of the story that Jesus is alive. Whatever it is, we've got a friend. We've got an advocate that's with us. So let's receive that gift, the gift that Jesus promised. Let's pray. Loving God, we just wait now. We just wait for your Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us anew today. so we can be witnesses to your goodness. Some of us are feeling peace come upon us, things we're feeling a bit fearful about. Some of us might be feeling a warmth in our hands. Some of us might be not feeling anything at all. So we just wait. We wait for your Holy Spirit because we can't do it without you, Lord Jesus. We can't do it without your advocate. Receive your Holy Spirit today, Lord Jesus. We receive it afresh. We want that baptism again, that renewal. Fill us, Lord, so we can take your love into this world.
Thank you for listening to the Discovery Church podcast. It is our mission that every heart is found in Jesus' story. If you were moved by this episode, please take 30 seconds to share it on your social media. It only takes a couple of seconds to create life-changing impact.